gonna get you right there. Let's get you.
So what we gonna do?
Welcome to the reality table. So I'm gonna get your stuff. I'm on this.
Time right now.
Yeah, you know.
the girl time.
We was worried. Right. We were like,
you're gonna have you come in here, you're gonna do
what up, okay.
Stevie, you know the topics, right?
So this
going. Oh, it's going down.
Let me just land my plane, y'all.
We just want to make sure we get them bites, so somebody might say something like, damn.
What your brain?
Every conversation's the base in relationships. We the topic of discussion. What's the gossip? Who she loving? This tea get hotter when you touch it. Forget about that he saying that she said. Tell me what the street said. Got them tuned in, they running back. Just like a DJ. What you bring to the table?
Welcome back to the reality table. It's your girl, Big Lux, and my co-host.
Josh Powell.
And we got our special guest today, Ms. Drea Kelly, Ms. Ashley Akins, and Mr. Stevie Bags. How we doing, family?
We good.
Yeah, I love the energy. I'm excited.
What's up?
Okay, we about to just dive right into what's really going on. Okay, so look, this is the topic. The topic is embracing masculine and feminine energy, okay? How does a woman arrive in our masculinity versus femininity? How does the transition between the two? Do men also possess the ability? Is it important to maintain balance between masculinity and femininity? If so, how do you maintain the balance? So, who want to start us off with it? I know Josh, he got a lot.
What's the first question?
How does a woman arrive in her masculinity versus femininity?
Sit down without me, dog.
Cause yeah. No, let him. Let him, cause he got so much in it.
At least let him go, you know.
I would like to hear what the women want to say about that first before I interject, honestly.
Well, I'm trying to sell my masculinity on eBay. I don't want it. You can have it. It's on clearance. Buy one, get 8 free. I want to be a damsel in distress. I want my baby hair and my titties to just lay somewhere pretty. I don't want to be in it. I don't like it. It's unnatural to me. I want to be a lady in all aspects of the word. And sometimes the world puts you in that position. And I didn't ask for it. And for some reason, as a black woman, that's almost like suffering and masculinity is your rite of passage. And we need to kill that. I don't like it. Mm.
Eloquent.
I totally agree. Being from the South, it's just in us to be masculine. We need to take care of everything. I need to be in charge. I want to handle everything. So now, getting a little older, I'm ready to take a step back. I want to be a little bit more feminine and not so aggressive. I don't want to handle everything on my own anymore. But seeing my mom do it on her own growing up, I had no choice. That was my only person I could watch. That was the only person who taught me how to handle it and wear everything on my sleeves. Put your shoulders up, put your shirt up, and get it done. I get my hands dirty. I know how to do everything from the car to the house, from the kitchen to school. So I'm really ready to stop. But it's hard because that's all I know.
Well, I don't know what y'all saying, but I get it. I think for me, it ain't. Everybody know my background is basketball. And I had to overgo adversity because I'm 5'4", I'm short. So I always had to prove something every day. You know what I'm saying? Practicing. So everybody was taller. I had to be good at something. So I was good at defense, good at leading. And you have to be a leader, which crosses over into the real world now. You know, I'm not playing ball no more. But I see it every day when I'm talking to people, like, because I still think I'm playing in a sense, like I got to lead the group. You know, I've always been a natural leader, so it transfers into relationships. When I see we're lacking something, I take the leadership role, and I don't consider that masculinity. I just consider it, this is who I am, because I learned it from sports. Does that make sense? So people get offended, and they think, you trying to be the man. No, I'm just trying to be a good leader for the team. I really want to be a great team player. And if we're lacking, I feel like I'm supposed to be the point guard in this situation. Right. You know, so that's what happens with me.
Well put.
Yeah.
I agree. I think I agree with, you know, what Drea and Ashley were saying as far as, like, nowadays everything to me is inverted, where you have men are acting as women and women are acting as men. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a program. I think that's conditioning, manipulation, or some sort of mind thing that we've just been accustomed to receiving for whatever reason, to where it's out of order. Mm-hmm. I think if we go look back at indigenous times, if we look in nature, you know, when things are in proper alignment and in order, a woman is acting where she's supposed to be and playing that role, and a man plays that role. And I think relationships, when you include relationships in that, it brings about a whole nother dynamic, because now a lot of women make more money than men. So it's like,
let's talk about
if you're the provider and protector, you can't look at it just from a tangible space as a woman. You got to say, I'm going to still respect him as a man, even though on the intangible side, he could be my provider and protector, like my health. Or he said, hey, baby, don't get gas. It's too late. You know, drive this car, whatever. Whatnot. Like, there's ways where he can be a provider and protector without it being financial. And if we look at nature again, the lioness is the one that hunts. Mm. The lion just keeps the hyenas off you. So if you look at it from that perspective, if women change the dynamic of like, oh, I tell women all the time, put your dick up. For real. Like, because at the end of the day, a lot of women have to do that because they're not in the presence of enough masculine energy. So then they have to put on masculine energy. And so I think the attack on masculinity is really an attack on femininity, which is ultimately an attack on humanity. The man gives life, the woman gives birth. So if I make the men weak, I can do whatever I want to the women and children. That's how I look at it. And that's what's going on right now. They society, conditioning, the establishment, manipulation, however you want to put it, some way, shape, or form, the men are weak. The average handshake of a man now is weaker than the average handshake of a woman. From the food that we're consuming, from the music, from the TV, from the government, from the education system, everything is pushing masculinity down. So that's going to make feminine energy more vulnerable and make the children more vulnerable. And if you can't see that the children are out of control, then something's wrong. So that's my take on it. I think it's just everything is flipped upside down. The women are acting out of character. We all have androgynous energy, which is both male and female energy. But when you're carrying too much of the opposite energy that you were given by the Most High, then it's out of order. I'll land there.
Come back, Lex. Come back.
I mean, what do you think about
that? I agree, disagree some places. No, but okay. I agree. I think that it's not enough men being feminine. And I don't mean like acting a certain type of way. I'm saying, like, for instance, you made a prime example of sometimes, like, we're in an era where the women are the breadwinner. So we were talking earlier, and I was saying, hey, if I'm going to work, you know, doing most of the thing, which I'm cool with, you know, providing more, then I'm ready to come home to a cooked meal. In this situation, like, if I'm pretty much taking care of all the bills, I'm ready to come home to a cooked meal. Not saying I have to come home to a cooked meal, but it should be in a sense where this is a situation where the roles are switched. You want me to work all day, take care of all the bills, and come home and cook? How? What are you doing, Craig? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on here?
Josh, why are you
because Josh got to really...
At that point, it's not about roles. It's about reciprocation.
Thank you. Right, that's exactly...
Right. It's reciprocating. I'm out working. I'm taking care of you. You're taking care of me. So let's take gender roles out of that. That has nothing to do with it. But some people look at it as, oh, well, he in the kitchen doing what a woman is supposed
right.
to do.
Right, right.
Some of the best chefs in the world are men.
Yes. Thank you,
actually,
queen.
There's more male chefs than females. So... Yeah. That's not a gender thing.
Yep.
It's about you love and take care of me. I love and take care of you. Because guess what? Once you cook that food, I'm hitting my needs. How about that?
Well, and you can be domestic, but not be domesticated.
Exactly.
Right? And like you, I think the problem now, I think, is men are being emasculated, domesticated, and castrated in some senses. And when you have that energy going on, you know, when you bring a relationship role into it, the law of reciprocity is true. Like, I never got in an argument with a plant because what the plant breathes out, I breathe in. And what I breathe out, the plant breathes in. So you're not giving me exactly what I'm giving you, but we're giving each other something to make us feel whole or balanced. Mm-hmm. And so that's what relationships, but I'm saying the masculine feminine energy, if you're in your feminine as a woman, and I'm operating in my divine masculine as a man, then when we come together, there should be synergy or synchronicity. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be any pressure. Mm-hmm. But the problem is people are not operating in their divine masculine and feminine energy. It's all out of whack. Mm-hmm. In my summation.
You what you quiet, got, Josh? Jay? What's going on?
Well, I heard all this.
I'm taking. You ain't heard all that. Because I think that it was touched on, right? Mm-hmm. We talking about divine masculine, divine feminine. But I think a lot of times we're so quick to label things masculine and feminine, mm-hmm. right? When it should just be a man serving his woman or a woman serving a man. Mm-hmm. I think that's the reason why a lot of things are so dangerous, because we get this war thing going on once you got a couple together, instead of looking at, well, what is it going to take for us to work? You know what I mean? So when people start feeling safe, when people start feeling emotionally or spiritually or mentally safe, then a lot of these things, these characteristics don't matter at the end mm-hmm. of the day, because you want to make sure your partner feels that love, that they feel that they're, you know, being treated the way that they want to be treated. So I do agree, like, you know, me as a man, what I'm supposed to do, right? But then also, too, like, women protect. You know what I'm saying? Women do things where they provide in different ways, and vice versa. And then it's another thing too, because us as men, on one end, some people say is weak to express emotion. And then on the flip side, the emotion is a part of your power, in my perspective, mm-hmm. because I can't walk around hard and angry all day. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? If I don't talk, if I don't speak about something, and that's why it is dangerous. And now, starting at 35, like, I started to, like, unpack a lot of those things that I went through in my childhood in order to tap in, because I don't want my kids to feel some type of way. My boys are different than I am. You know, the way that they're raised, like, my circumstances are different. So if they cry, I don't want to make them feel any kind of way where it's like I'm making you feel less of a young man because you're showing emotion or you can't regulate that emotion. Like, mm-hmm. That's why I just feel it's a little different, man. And we so busy, you know, labeling things the wrong way. But I agree with what everybody said. It was good. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was good. It was good.
When children, I think when we talk about the dynamic of even the children, it's like the way we were brought up to be one percenters, to play pro basketball and pro football, pro basketball, we're one percenters. Mm. I got my ass whooped. And I appreciate that. I appreciate them spankings. I appreciate my family telling me that. And it wasn't an abusive thing. Like, a lot of people did have to deal with abuse. But I am thankful for that, because you can't just do anything and expect to be great. For me. Now, when my son cries, if he's hurt, it's okay. But if you're whining because you want something that you didn't get, now I'm on your head. Because in life, it's not going to be sweet like that. When you leave out of this door and you got to go face the world, I don't give a damn. People not gonna acquiesce to you because you whining. You know, so I look at it from that perspective, and I'm like, I'm thankful for the strict energy that I got from my parents growing up that just didn't let me get away with everything or just didn't give me everything without understanding the discipline that comes along with that. Because, you know, and not saying that's not what you're doing. I see a lot of parents that they want to be friends with their children instead of really friends only. And I think that you gotta set a precedent of, no, there's a standard here. We can be friends when you're grown.
So yeah. I agree with you, right? But here's the difference in what I'm saying. So in my situation, along with so many others, and I'm sure everybody can attest to this, we can come at our sons or daughters a certain type of way. But then if you don't get that support from the other side, meaning the mom, right? So that's one. Support from mom is important. So if she's already on your head about don't speak to my child or do, there's already a separation.
Yeah,
so then if you go outside of mom and then you have to deal with the kids who are learning from their phones, they're learning from other friends, right? Their other friends are like, girl, my mom don't talk to me like that, or my dad don't talk to me like that. So now you're having this battle with so many other parts that we didn't have to do that, right? When we were growing up, it was like if mom said something or dad said something, it was law. Yes, whatever happened behind closed doors, if they was like, yo, you talk to him crazy, then they handled that. Yes. We never saw that.
No, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So my mom would come in, she'll tear me up. Guess who coming in after that? It's the old man.
Mm-hmm.
there is no more of that in this day and age. That's why it's tough. So you, it seems like you got more support from mom on your end, whereas a lot of men aren't getting that support. And that's a bigger part of the divide as well.
No, bro, you hit it on the head. That's huge. When you talk about order, I think that, you know, once again, the woman is the first teacher of the child. So if you want to know the state of a nation, you have to look at the women. If you want to know the future of a nation, you got to look at the men. Because women teach children to cleave. We come in and teach children how to leave. Like, that's just what it is. So to your point, if you lay down with someone who doesn't process information like you, this is huge. Then now you're asking for trouble when it comes to a seed. Because now we're in a space where it's like, man, I procreated with a motherfucker who really is not on my level. I thought you was cute, but you weren't a cute. You was fine, but your ass wasn't refined. You know what I'm saying? And that's really what it boils down to. Like, now I take credit. I can't say my baby mama was crazy. Was she crazy before we laid down with one another? She can't say baby daddy ain't shit. He was the same nigga before you laid. But where was your discernment? Once again, because you weren't operating in your divine masculine, she wasn't operating her divine feminine. Now you just moving with haste, and you're not even really being intentional about who you're procreating with. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like when you're at a certain level in your life and you're grounded, there are certain people, places, and things that you're not even going to connect with anymore. You know, but when you used to do that and when you weren't grounded, when you were anxiety, depressed, you know, all over, now you're going to lay down with anything and anybody. And I think that's what we have to start really being very intentional about. Mm-hmm. You know, a woman is emotion first, ego second. A man is ego first, emotion second. So just look at the anatomy. Our anatomy is outer. Y'all's is inner.
Wrap it.
For a reason. It's a reason why a woman is nurturing. It's a reason why a man is protective. That's our nature. But we've gone against that now. And I think that, you know, when we have having these conversations is good, because we can start unpacking the trauma that we're dealing with, the drama that we've dealt with, and the hurt that people are feeling. Because that's really what it is. Hurt people continue to hurt people. Mm-hmm. And if we continue to keep doing the same thing and expecting different results, we know what that is. So it's like, these conversations are dope, but I think it's all spiritual.
Do y'all all feel like we can't operate in a different way and still make it work? Or there are relationships that can't be successful, or kids that can grow up in a healthy environment in a role reversal? What I mean by that is, right, you take a strong woman who might be more forthcoming, a lot more different in her delivery, but then the man might be more quiet and, you know, he might be like, cool, she got it. You know what I'm saying? But that dynamic could work. Do y'all think, you know, that there could be a healthy space for that?
Being assertive and not aggressive. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know the difference between the two. She think because I'm neck rolling and being aggressive means I'm getting my point across. I can be very calm and be assertive about what I want and talk to you just like a king and ask you please not to do that. Because if you do, I'm walking out the door. Mm. I don't have to be like, do it again. And why? And that's why you act like your mama. Yeah. You don't have to do all that. Right. So I think that's the first thing that we have to learn is about delivery. Because you can have masculine energy, but you don't have to act like a man. Mm. You can have feminine energy, but you don't have to act like a woman.
So then even to that point, right, do we still label it that? Because you just said I could be assertive and be full on feminine and get my delivery across without coming across like, you know, we on this type of time.
Well, that's a societal thing, because when women do it, we're not told that we're assertive. You being aggressive and acting like a man.
Yep. All the time, queen. I hate it.
And even though that's not my delivery. And sometimes I'm put in that position to be masculine, especially when I'm in a room full of men and I don't feel protected. Now I have to become my own protector. I have to then become masculine, because now I'm in a room full of men where I feel like I'm a deer in the headlights. Yes. What's going on?
Do you feel
now
you can still handle myself it differently, though? I understand your point totally, right? But do you feel that could be a teaching moment to move in the way that you would like to, and you could still get your point across?
Yeah, but again, as a woman, when I'm assertive about what I want, who's she talking to? I know she wasn't talking. I ain't got to do that. So it's how it's received. I can give it to you, but it depends on what energy you're moving in is how you're going to receive what I give to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not so much about me. It's about where you are. As a man, can I receive it and say, she's just being a, okay, that's something that she really needs. That's somewhere where I'm lacking. Let me pick up the slack. Or are you going to be in your uber hyper masculine and be like, she ain't talking to me. I ain't got to do this, that, and the other. And she need to talk to her daddy. If she got issues, they ain't got nothing to do with me. Well, it does, because we're in this. I'm not in this with my daddy. I'm in this with you.
But you know what's funny? I feel like the men who are behaving that way would do that, whether it's a man or a woman.
Not necessarily.
I thoroughly believe, because a lot of men going to be like, bro, who you talking to? You feel me? Even if, because they feel threatened. I don't think it's like a woman, you talking to me some type of way, because the other thing that we are responsible for is maintaining balance. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's true strength in somebody that can pause, wait, articulate, do all these different things versus like, you ain't coming to me. Like, that's not a leader.
Right.
And I feel like for our queens, that's a responsibility. You see somebody moving like that, it's like, you know what? I ain't even going to address that one. Let me find another way or another person that I can, you know, put this on so they can maybe articulate this thought for me.
I would say this. It's a lot of people. I deal with a lot of men on a daily basis. Everybody ain't you and everybody ain't bags. Mm-hmm. If you would see the type of people I deal with, you have to really... Them guards,
trying not to talk about what I was talking about.
Yeah, them guards, they coming up. And it's sometimes, and I know I'm a hypocrite in certain areas, because I don't want you giving that to me. I wouldn't give it to you. But now you don't know what I dealt with. You don't know what I went through. You haven't walked in my shoes. You didn't even walk in my shoes that day. So now I might be walking to you. And even though I'm not trying to bring that energy, I just left a room full of men. We talking about whatever sports, whatever it is, you know? And it's like, now I'm already on 10. Let me bring it down on 5. I'm about to meet this nice queen, boom, boom, boom. But it's like, me personally, I feel like I said at the beginning, I always had to prove myself, whether it been height, sports, you know, have a good living now, no kids, no man. And then when I find someone, you know, you talked about the representative, like, they paint a different picture, and then when you actually get involved with them, it ain't that, you know? And then you, because you're so nurturing and giving, that's when the femininity come out, you know what I'm saying? And then I'm like, well, damn, am I the man or woman? And not necessarily, that's what you got to give, because I give it all, you know? And then when I get less back, cool, I'm willing to even give more. But then when you start doing more, well, you want to be the man. Well, how? Because that's what we're lacking. And I'm talking about not just relationships. I'm talking about friendships. Like, yeah. You know, I deal with a lot. So to make a point, like, I don't know too many people that act like y'all too.
Say that one more time. Black unicorns. Black unicorns.
I'm going to say this because, sis, when you're grounded, your intuition and your discernment and your it's a lot different than when you're not. And so it's like, then you're not going to have anything that doesn't relate to you. We can't have a relationship.
Yep.
You know, they talk about ships bring things to and from. So if the things on your ship don't relate to my ship, I have to discern that. Mm. You got to, actually, I tell people, lead with your third eye. Make your third eye your first eye. Mm. If you lead with your spiritual eye first and these two second, then it's harder for you to get tricked into anything.
Yeah.
But we are so carnal, you know, in the sense where it's like, man, it look good, but God dang, and it sound good, but it's not really good for you. Not just in an intimate relationship, but friends and family. Like, everybody who's my family ain't my relative. Mm-hmm. Y'all niggas ain't related to me because we don't do shit the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't have the same mindset. Our mindset is not related. Our spirituality is not in relation. Mm-hmm. So you might be my blood relative, but we probably not family. Mm-hmm. And so it's like that with people who are friends. And I think as you continue to evolve, it's like a rocket ship for me. The higher the rocket ship goes, the more stuff falls off of it. That's how you end up being. The more you evolve, the more people, places, and things around you that were important, they end up falling off. You know, because now you're going to another level. An eagle, can't no other bird fly that high. Mm. So you trying to deal with chickens. You at the Eagle Institute, and these people have been to Chicken Academy. So you trying to talk to Chicken Academy people, and you at the Eagle Institute, and you wondering why that shit don't clash, you know? And it's like, nah, man, when you start elevating to another level, you like, my vision is like an eagle too. And I can see that you ain't on my level, homie. So I'm not even about to go over there.
And to the point that he's making, like when you do know yourself, you know, you end up being in situations and surrounding yourself with like-minded people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to worry about that, because then you can really be who you're supposed to be in every situation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of times we sit up here and we're trying to adjust to people instead of it being the other way around. Mm-hmm. Like you just being who you are, whether it's, you know, you're feminine or whatever you want to tap into, like if that's you to your core, then you do that. Because not everybody's going to have that dainty, like, let me just do this type of,
because I'm not that.
You know what I'm saying? And that's okay. but you bump into that person that matches your energy. You bump into that person that matches yours, and that's what we all got to do. And that's where the real power is, in my opinion.
But I don't know Ashley personally, but I know these two women personally. So it's like the way y'all operate with me has always been in a feminine space, because I feel like they understand that there's a masculine energy present, so they don't have to be overbearing. And even if they were like assertive, or even if they were aggressive, it still doesn't. That don't take away my masculinity, because they moving in an aggressive or assertive manner. You know what I'm saying? I think that once again, when people are not grounded and they don't know themselves, to your point, then it's like you take offense. I would never take offense at a woman being assertive or strong.
Yeah.
Because you're strong on your strongest day, baby. You can't be what I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't be what you are. You know what I mean? And like I said about the androgyny, we're all androgynous creatures. It's just, what are you leading with? You know, we all carry masculine and feminine energy, but what do you lead with? You know, it's just like relationships. People lead with what they have the most of. So you meet somebody and they lead with money. So, you know, that's all it's going 9 times out of 10. It stops there. So they lead with their, you know, whatever it is, they lead with their sex. And so then it's going to stop there. But when you come into contact with multifaceted, multidimensional people who they have a number of things that they can bring to the table, that's the type of people I want to be connected to. Because that's what we are. We're multidimensional creatures. We're not just physical. We're not just mental. And we're not just spiritual. We all of them, you know? And so for me, I find my best self when I'm operating in balance in all those areas.
That's a big fact. And I know for me, like, you know, one of the things I like talking about a lot is the fact of, you know, we're nurturers too. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's you find yourself in a position where you gotta, you know, love a little bit more, be a little bit more gracious, you know what I mean? Hold a little hand. Like, I be driving my son, be like, daddy, hand. Like, so I'm like this. I'm like this, hurting my hand. You know, my arm, everything just burning, but he wanna hold it till he fall asleep.
I love it.
Now, 10 years ago, I might have been like, nah, big dog, what we doing? But with growth, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, nah, bro, you want to hold my hand? Right. Cool, that's what we on.
Right.
You got a little fall, you done bumped your little noggin, bro. Let me kiss all on you. Come here, bro.
No, that's real. And I do that with power, bro. I do that all the time. Even though with the whining, I don't play that. But I also love them the same. I love them just as hard, right? And I think that's the balance that they have to see and have, because it's not like I'm just going to punish you because you whining. No, I'm going to love on you too when it's just me and you, when we hugging and we vibing and we wrestling or whatever we're doing. I want him to understand, like, bro, you got somebody that a masculine energy that loves you, which most men, this be real, most men don't have that. Most women don't have that, because what we have adopted this ideology, this Eurocentric ideology of we got to be self-made. We got to get it out the mud. I want to do it by myself. And it's like, we're a village people. We're a tribal people.
Yep.
Innately, we're tribal. And so we don't live in a village anymore. You know, you can't even tell a young man or a young lady tighten up without one of them trying to cuss you out of damn near shoot you.
You know, it's crazy. I'll be telling my 2-year-old to tighten up. I'll be having to catch myself sometimes. Yeah. I'll be like, you don't tighten up. I'll be like,
No, but bro, I think that's good though, bro. I think it's good that you're there to tell him to tighten up, because it's okay for the police to slam your children, but you can't whoop them. That's crazy to me. And like the whole thing about spare the rod, spoil the child. No, the rod is not always an actual rod. It's the rod of correction. It's the rod of, I'm not a discipline. Like, you just can't do anything, bro. That's a rod. It's not just I'm hitting you with a stick or a belt. You know, we're more innovative now. We know how to we know how to use our mindset to raise children. I'm an older father. Like my mom and dad were 17, 18, you know what I'm saying, when they had me. So it's like, I'm my dad's dad. You feel me? At the end of the day, now being an older father, I know how to do things and approach things a little differently with my children. If my daughter, I don't see her every day and she texts me something that's out of the way, I'm not about to text back with no girl. I'm not about to argue with you. Yahweh loves you, baby, and I love you too. Go. You know, because one day she's going to understand, like, dang, my dad really, really gave me something, even though I was being disrespectful. Like, my son, he's with me every day. So, you know, when they in the house with you, it's a different vibe. You know, it's a different type of connection and bond. But I think that those masculine energy parameters are started there during those informative years. During those formative years, not informative, but it is also informative. But the formative years are important to cultivate the masculine and feminine energy in our children. But you can't give them what you don't have. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people don't have that inventory to even give the babies. So that's why so many lost souls out here.
Well, I'm a product of a military kid. So I grew up with strict rules. Basically, I'm the first boy because they didn't have any boys. So I was my daddy's boy. So I did everything with him. So I am a little bit more aggressive than the normal girl. But I'm a leader. Everything from Chamber of Commerce, excelling in my education, church, community, I'm always doing something. And even in friend groups, I was like the leader of the group. Everybody wants to know what Ashley want to do. And I'm in charge. This is our itinerary for the day. So now let's fast forward into reality TV world. Mm-hmm. I was one of those hopeless romantics mm-hmm. who thought she could find love. Really on television, not knowing I was the only one. Yeah, I was the only one there with an open heart and a smile. First year, it was great. Everybody loved me. Now let's fast forward to me being a woman walking in her truth. I know who I am, and I'm unapologetic about it. Some of the men were not prepared for me. I'm a lot, and it's okay. And I'm not for everybody, and I understand that. But one thing about me, and two things for sure. The way I was raised with military background, protection is big for me. When a man can be a man and speak up for himself, that's big. When a man can understand his emotions, that's big. Communication, I'm a speech therapist, that's big for me. I was in a certain situation where the guy brought friends to the show, and you have to meet the friends and all of that. But one friend, she was really coming for my head. She didn't like me. She didn't like the way I look, nothing. Oh, I don't think you're a good match. We exchanged words, and it became unpleasant. He tucked his tail and put his head down. Didn't look up, not once. Didn't interject, not once. It was so bad to where my castmates had to jump in, like, you're not going to do this to her. You're really, she could really ask you all to leave, but, you know, I'm playing my role. So we met up later that night to talk about it. He had no words for me. He said that I basically embarrassed him because I was going back and forth with his friend. Not once did he apologize about the situation and him not being that masculine man. So he began to call me DMX. And I said, hey, yo, nigga, what you want me to do? I sure did. I gave him DMX right back because at this point, you see, I talk with my hands because in speech therapy, y'all, I work with a lot of special needs children, so my nails and my eyelashes, and I'm just animated. And so when I'm passionate about something, I move a lot. But I was trying to live in my soft life and sit there cute and wait on him to say something, but the math just wasn't mathing, and it was pissing me off. So, like, I wanted to come across the table, like, you really got me, but, you know, I tried, and I had to walk away. I walked away 3 times. I tried it again. I prayed. I meditated. I was like, okay, just let him talk. But he wasn't saying what I wanted to hear. So what do you do when you're in situations where you're allowing a man to be masculine? You're trying to be feminine, but they're taking it away from you. So I'm going to have to go on and do it for you because you didn't do it.
What could he have said that would have made it okay? Because he already dropped the ball, it seems like. So what could he have said?
He could have stopped that conversation and said, hey, we're not doing that. I'm here because I want to get to know her. All is back and forth. We're not doing that, ladies. Let's calm down. And I would have been cool with that. I would have shut up. But the fact that you tucked your tail, then you came back and had the nerve to be upset.
That was the first incident.
Yeah, that was the first, and we had a date the same night. He came back, and he was basically upset with my energy.
What made you try two more times? When he lost everything on the first.
I had to. I had to go back that night to, like, talk about what happened during the day.
Contractually.
Yeah. Contractually, yeah. But, you know, if that would have been in real life, I would have been gone. I wouldn't have even been combative. I would have got my purse and left. But, of course, camera purposes, I had to stick it out. And so the internet chewed me up.
Well, I'm glad you can express that, because I think a lot of times us men and women, we're in situations where we don't do this.
Oh, I'm good at that.
Just make life easy. You know what I'm saying? Like. It's not a be quiet thing. It's just you choosing yourself and understanding that, okay, I know who the person is. I got it. Mm-hmm. And now let me make the necessary decision. You know what I'm saying? We don't make the necessary decision. We're trying to fix somebody, or it's like based on potential or whatever else. It's like, so we keep it going when we should have just exited stage left.
And the reality is, you just have to be real with yourself. They don't have it to give. It's nothing to be mad about. You just don't have it to give. That was something he just did not have to give you.
And I already saw it. That's not something I'm going to be sitting in. So you find really somebody for you, baby, simple. and we're good.
It's going to get harder than it needs to be, because we're trying to transform this person in an instant to be what I need you to be, when the reality is you don't have it to give. Okay, let's go our separate ways. Yeah. You need to be with a woman who's going to sit here and let you tuck your tail. She's out there. I'm just not her. And then just be done with it. Like, it's really that simple.
I got a question for everybody. In the midst, because I'm sure everybody here can admit, or at least I hope, maybe can admit that you've tried to, like, change a person once in your life.
No, I won't say try to change a person. I tried to change myself for that person. I tried to make my puzzle piece fit into their puzzle. And thinking in me loving them enough that I'll adjust. I will dumb down to meet him where he is. And I don't think that a lot of people try to change a person. We really do, 9 times out of 10, try to adjust to fit into that person's world. But then that breeds resentment, because now I stopped doing this. I don't do this. Oh, I did all that for you, and you still the same. Mm-hmm. It's not that person's fault at that point. That's your fault for trying not to be authentically who you are to fit into their world, when you should just be real with yourself and say, this is not a good fit. You're never going to be who I need you to be. I'm out. And it's not even about you changing. There's somebody who's going to fit that puzzle piece. Mm-hmm. There's somebody for you. I'm just not her.
But isn't change necessary?
Change is necessary, but I think the biggest change is for yourself. When you realize your worth and who you are and what your non-negotiables are, you won't even be playing with other people's puzzles. You'll be like, oh, no, that ain't going to work for me. That we ain't even got to have a first date, because I already know by the conversation we not going to work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we literally have conversation with people and we like, I don't know about this, but I'm going to go anyway and see. That's your fault when it crash and burn.
What's a non-negotiable for you?
A non-negotiable for me? Ooh, let me tell you something.
We're going to ask the right question.
Yeah. Coming at me crazy. And when I mean coming at me crazy, I think that we are all responsible for our emotions. And I believe that you can be upset, but don't come at me with angry energy, because that means that's coming from little you. Now I'm dealing with little you and your trauma when you come at me with anger. When you're upset, you're emotional, that is fine. We can talk about it. But 9 times out of 10, the Bible says God takes 2 and makes them 1. Usually it's 4 of us walking down that aisle. It's big me and little me, big you and little you. And now we're going to come together and try to make 1. And when you don't know the difference, now that little you, I'm sitting here having an argument, and it's not even grown Josh I'm talking to. I'm talking to little Josh who sat in the window at 7 o'clock on Sunday, whose daddy continually did not show up. And we don't even know that's who I'm arguing with. So my non-negotiable is, if you're not willing to say, listen, little me is still here and I'm working on him and we're going to get this thing together, but it's okay for you to tell me when he shows up, we ain't going to work.
I like how you broke that down. Because I know with myself, it's kind of like that. Like, I feel like when I'm dealing with someone, I can see little person and big person.
Little, they show up.
So for me, I give more grace. And that's why I continue to stay in it, because I feel like there's potential there. Let's try to figure, I'm a figure out person.
But see, as women, we need to stop that. Yeah. I'm not dealing with your potential. I'm here for your progress. Mm. Because if I keep dealing with your potential, I'm going to be dealing with you and your trauma and what you don't want to deal with. And it's my fault because your mama didn't do this. It's my fault because you... No, I don't want to deal with your potential. I want to deal with your progress. And your progress means I know I have issues with my mother. Mm. I know I have issues with my father. And this is why I do the things that I do. And at any point that you decide that you're going to walk out, I'm cool with it. I'm not even going to charge it to the game, never to your heart, because I know what I need to work on.
But so my question, I know it's, you know, masculine, feminine, but this is good. So I do need to ask this, and this is for everybody. When you notice that little whomever shows up, right? Respectfully, can anybody answer again? But I definitely want to ask you, what is the proper way to address that? Because I feel that many of us are in that moment.
Yeah.
We see it, but we could care less. Mm. So it's like, nah, I see little you. I'm going in on little you as well. And we're going to mash the gas on whoever this person is across the way from me. And I feel like that's where the true damage comes in. Because it just takes one time, especially for us, right? Women move a lot different. But like for a man, it's like when you show that and it's not handled properly, then it's like shut down or it's defense mechanisms through the roof after that. So I'm just trying to hear from your perspective.
That's where maternal nurturing, if we want to call it feminine energy, goes into overdrive. Because now I know I'm not even dealing with a grown man. So now I have to approach you from a motherly, mothering position. Damn. I can't come at a little person as a grown woman because I'm not dealing with the grown man right now. So we're going to de-escalate that. We're going to have this conversation and I'm going to ask you, where's that coming from? Because I know it's not about what we're dealing with right now. Where did that come from? And we're going to go deep. And I'm not going to yell. And again, I can be assertive, but I'm not going to be aggressive. And I can be soft, but I can still get my point across. And also let you know at the same time, I know what you're dealing with, but it doesn't give you a pass to be disrespectful. Because I didn't do it to you. I don't deserve it. I'm the one here trying to love you through it. The people that did that to you, give them that energy. Because 9 times out of 10, those are the people you softest with, the ones who caused you the most trauma, not the person that's trying to heal you.
But let me tell you something. The reason I said what I said to you is because we can all say all day people are prepared, ready, boom, boom. But the real reality is you really don't know someone's upbringing. Mm-hmm. And my thing with me when I'm dealing with relationships, people, whatever, I try to understand the people. So that's why I say I give grace because I really don't know. I want to know what you've been through.
Yeah.
And then I make a decision later, whether it be 4, 5, 6 months down the line, if I'm going to deal with that person. Because sometimes if you really understand someone's upbringing, you're going to accept, not necessarily deal with how they are, but you're going to accept, you know what? Let me give this person a little grace because this might be my match. You know, he just didn't know that.
Yeah.
But now I'm the conversation person. I'm not going to judge you. I'm really the one who want to talk to you about it. That's when I make my decision. And I think for me, it don't matter if it's 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, a year. You start to see, you really start to learn people. So I'm not here to judge you. And you know what? He not for me. I've never been that person. Mm-hmm. Now, unless it's them first 10 minutes, then I know.
Right.
He not for me.
Yeah.
But there's something about you that drew me to you, regardless of your appearance, that, hey, I kind of like Sean. You know what I'm saying? Let me figure him out. You know, I'll tell you this. When I first met Bags, it was years ago. He used to have a cafe off Peter Street. I used to go to that cafe every Wednesday. I didn't even know Stevie at the time. I was like, hey, I'm going to cafe. I'm going to, what's it called?
Dream Cafe.
Yes. So I never knew Stevie, never knew who Stevie was, never knew nothing about Stevie. I don't know where I saw it at. But then went to the cafe, and I don't know which happened first because it happened so long ago. If you did that show or if it was after that show.
Yeah.
But I felt like I knew this man at this point. So I'm like, hey, Stevie, my name's Lex. But, you know, we're obviously friends. But when I first met him, I was like, man, I wish I could find someone similar to Stevie. You know, but his appearance, great. Personality, great. We became friends. Met Josh.
Was he woke like that back then?
He might have been a woker. I don't know. He might have dumbed it down a little bit, you know? But what I'm saying is I began to keep tapping in with him. Boom. Meet Josh. I think I met Josh 2012, 2013, something like that. We've been friends over 10 years, right? So meet Josh. Dang, he fine. Boom, boom. We get to know each other. Boom. We have our own conversation. I'm like, man, he's a great person. And at the time, I'm probably in something, you know? Mm-hmm. So we building a friendship now. Like, these are my these are my rollies. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So when I have my main issues, I call the guys, not saying to gossip. I call because I want advice.
Yes.
But and this is the thing, though. People don't understand that. So my thing is, I'm a talker. I want to talk through it. Look, let me not snap on somebody. Bring me down to reality. Am I doing this right? And I'm going to call them, and they're going to get tired of it. Okay, queen. Here goes Josh. Okay, queen. Just don't deal with it at this point. And then I know, I don't know what happened to him today. All right, king. And then I'll talk to him later about it. Bags, let's talk about it, Lex. You know, so, you know what? Women are inner, men are outer. Like, he go into that whole spiel. Yes. I'm like, all right, king, that's the tip time. I heard it. But then when I break it down, that's when we have our talks. Right. So, like, he'll tell me, like, you're a great person, and you give too much grace. But I feel like I was put on this earth to do that. Because I tell people, regardless if I find my mate or not, I was put on this earth to help people. I was put on this earth to move forward with people. I was put on this earth for something that's bigger than me.
Bigger than me, yeah.
So if I have no kids or if I have kids, I'm cool with that. Because I was put on this earth to help someone else. Like, I'm not, at this point, I'm not living for me anymore. Right. You know, and whoever your God is, like, I feel like I was put on this earth literally to bring people together, to help people, and to build something different, whatever that is. And I'm still a work in progress. I'm not perfect. And like I said earlier, I'm a hypocrite sometimes because I might snap on somebody real quick, but I'll give you advice. You shouldn't do that. But then I'll later correct myself. Hey, you know what? I was wrong. I might not have saw it right then. Forgive me. I'm not perfect.
Right.
But I want people to understand that you got to understand people. You know, sometimes I'll go talk about somebody real quick. And then a day or two, it didn't sit right. I'll go to that person. I was wrong. I shouldn't have said these things. I'm not perfect. Let me correct me. Because I was worse 4 years ago. You know, but now it's like I'm in the business world. And I know you ain't trying to burn bridges with people. But at the same time, I don't want to deal with people that don't want to deal with me. And I don't want to be around people that feel like they have to force themselves to be around me.
Right.
So for me, and Bags know this, Stevie know this, I have a hard time of accepting that this is just who this person is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can accept, you can try to receive that everyone's good, but also you got to understand people are really out here doing stuff for the gram.
Yeah.
People are really out here doing stuff for clout. People are really out here just doing whatever to appease someone else or to appease the world. But I really fall short every time because I'm really out here doing it for the purpose,
mm-hmm.
whatever that purpose is. And I'm like, dang, why I always catch the short end of the stick? But I know it ain't too many like me. He said, we are one percenters. Yeah. I know at this point, I'm 0.2%. It ain't too many of me out here. And when I say too many of me, I am very much masculine when it comes to my delivery. I've tried to be feminine, but I'm in these roles, in these positions. Like, I got to bring that out because of the situations I'm in. You're not going to keep talking to me like I'm some little girl. I look like a little girl. I don't have to have kids to understand that you have kids and this and this and this. I got siblings. I help raise my siblings.
Right.
That's the mother in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have, and I hate when people try to put that again. Well, you don't have kids, you understand? I don't have to have kids. I got a sister and I got a brother and I got two nephews. They going to call me when they need something. You know what I'm saying?
Just because you birthed a child don't make you a mother.
Right, right, right.
So let's start there.
Let's
start there.
Every female ain't a woman and every male ain't a man.
Yeah, yeah. Let's start there.
Like, self-inventory is so huge, y'all. Emotional intelligence, you hear that word being thrown around. Mm-hmm. I think if you can't get with self, unfortunately, we live in a time when you get centered in yourself, people call you self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's nothing wrong with getting centered in yourself. The self-care, making sure that you are the divine oneness within yourself,
mm-hmm.
so that you attract the people that you're supposed to attract. Because unfortunately, what I think another thing we don't do is, like, we don't take credit for attracting the people that comes into our life. Like, we attracted that energy. You know what I'm saying?
We take it for the good.
Yeah.
I got it out the mud.
My energy.
Man, look. Man, look. I did my thing. Boy, I worked hard. You did the same energy.
To attract that craziness. Yeah.
You know, and it's like when we start to really recognize, like, I'm in a place in my life where I don't manifest no trauma and no drama in my life. I manifest none of that. The only lack I have is a Cadillac.
Mm.
You know, because when you start seeing that within, that becomes your reality. And people don't understand alchemy is real. We're not here to just to die, man. We here to master energy.
Yep.
And I don't think we understand how to do that, because we've just taken everything that society has given us and we've just taken it for face value. Like, when you talk about relationships, how can you be faithful to a man or a woman when we not even faithful to the Most High? Just sit on that. We won't even be faithful to the energy, the entity that gives us breath in our body, but you think you're going to be faithful to a human? We're temporary. Ain't nothing forever. Like, we just get caught in this fairy tale shit and think that life is what it is. There's a time and season for everything. So it's a time and season where we might be together, and it's a time and season where we may have to depart. Because till death do us part is not physical, it's spiritual. Yeah, spiritual. If the spirit of a relationship is dead, it's dead.
It's dead.
But we hang on for the children, imagery, money, all the things that's outside of purpose. And we wonder why that there's no real, true, genuine growth and no love and no. So I think that when we start to really look within instead of looking without, that gives you the fortitude, the attitude, the solitude to be the person that you was called to be. Because the worst thing to do is to die, y'all, and don't know why you live. So many people die and don't know why they live. Or you can't be afraid to live and die. You choose one. You can't be afraid to live and die. We got to choose one. And so when we get into space like this, I think it's beautiful that we're able to be transparent about our upbringing and how we're raising our children and the things that we've dealt with in our past, because that's what I think the world is missing, genuineness. There's so many disingenuous people that make it seem like they got everything together. They never had any struggle, or things are not, you know, what we think that they are, whatever the case may be. When we start to have conversations like this, we can really start to move the needle on changing our culture and changing our children and improving our health. Like, we gotta really improve our health, man, as a people. What are we consuming? Like, people are mineral deficient. If you want to talk about getting back in balance with your masculine and feminine energy, let's talk about the food we consuming, y'all.
Come on over to the vegan side.
Hey, I mean, what? Listen.
I tried it.
Listen, there's a verse that says, through the paths of righteousness, right? There's many paths to righteousness. Find your path. But you better stay healthy. And all I can say is the proof is in the pudding. She's at that age and looking how she looks. She's doing something righteous.
It's amazing, man.
Right? And so at the end of the day, whether you want to call it plant-based, vegan, whatever, I'm a flexitarian. I'm flexible with what I consume because the world is flexible. Like, but I know what I need to do to be the best version of me. So if it's not eating meat for a week, no, if I got to do no meat Mondays, I'm going to do that. If I got, you know what I'm saying? You better, no, for real. You better change. Just
it's
change.
It's never happened, John. You're not doing it.
Flexitarian. I'm looking this up.
No, that's my word. No, that's mine. That's mine.
Look, I acted like I knew it.
Yeah, that's mine. I ain't got to worry about that.
Boy, you need to be a rapper, boy. This boy, he keep dropping these rhymes and riddles. I'm like,
I knew it was going to happen. Right. He was going to get riled up. I knew my boy was going to come with it.
I'm passionate about life. I'm passionate about sharing information with people, man. Because I think that money is not power, education is not power, information is power. And we got a lot of people that have a lot of money in our community.
Powerless.
But they powerless.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, it's just disheartening that you can go run up and down the field for your oppressor, up and down the court for your master, but you don't have no knowledge on how to master yourself. You know, you can have a PhD, but no G-O-D. And our people are operating in that thing. And it's like, we've seen that way is not helping us.
Mm.
Like, like she said, let's start growing our own food and then see if we can get back in balance. And y'all, it takes 7 apples today to equate to the amount of nutrients in one apple from 1970. Like, this is what's really going on. We are magnesium deficient, and magnesium is the most abundant mineral found in our brain. So why are people not thinking right? They don't have we mineral deficient. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how can you process information properly when you're not even on a cellular level? You're not even getting the proper things that you need to even hear what somebody's saying, to even ingest what they're saying. So then, a relationship ain't gonna work. Hell, you don't even know how to take care of yourself. You talking about taking care of a relationship or a child? That's, to me, That's where it starts, y'all. When we start to really do that self-inventory and let go of tradition, open your hand to truth. Let go of religion, open your hand to righteousness. Mm. Just because you're right don't mean you are righteous. But if you're righteous, you always going to be right. And what is righteousness? You feel it. You know it when you're in the presence of it. When you're in the presence of divinity, righteousness, that type of energy, you feel it. It's innate. Our soul is calling for it. But will we answer the call? That's the question.
For sure. So in closing, what is something that each of you got from this lovely conversation today?
You want to go first?
Well, let me first of all, it's been on my head to say thank you to the both of you that you guys walk in gentle masculinity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what women are really looking for. We're not looking for somebody to come in and be a dictator. We're not looking for somebody to come in and tell me, oh, you poor little stupid girl with that little brain in your head, let me help you figure out life. I think that makes us more feminine when you know that you're dealing with gentle masculinity.
Facts.
Because that then allows my wall to come down and say, now what he's saying to me, I take as protection.
Yes.
Now what he's saying to me, I take as correction. I don't take it as him being a dictator when you come in with this uber masculine, hard energy. But I think as Black men, that's what they've been taught, that that's what it is. That if it's not hard, it's not masculine. Mm. So I want to say kudos to both of you all for delivering it in such a way that as a woman, you immediately make me feel protected. So yeah. I can say, I am that girly girl. I am that, baby, please do it. Open the jar of pickles. I can't. It's up there. Get it for me. Carry me. My feet hurt. Yeah. All the way to the top of the stairs to the bed. I'm that girl. But because you have gentle masculinity, it makes me say, but when you get home, your bath is ready. I did pack your bag. Your food is ready. I will massage your head. I will cut your toenails.
I'm
going to do it all. But you know what? Because you make me feel like a queen and a princess, I'm going to make you feel the same thing.
Just not the nails.
That's okay. We'll get you. And you know why I will do that? Because the nails I cut are on the same feet that you stand on to make sure these bills are paid and the lights is on and it's food and I got a car to drive. So I'm going to take care of you from your head to your feet if you are doing the same for me. So I don't see that as being subservient.
Yeah.
I don't see that as, oh my God, I got to do this for him. It brings me joy to know because you do that for me and I can sit in this feminine energy and work if I want to. Leave this house if I want to.
That part.
Cut the grass if I want to. Take out the trash
if I want to. Yeah.
You're going to get everything you need.
I'm just not touching them toes.
I'm touching your toes. Touching your toes. Yes. So in closing, I just want to thank you all. And hopefully other men will see this and know that you can have gentle masculinity and it's going to get you everything you want from a woman.
Mm. I second that. I mean, I don't know how to come after that. I've learned so much. Shout out to you for all of your good old gems. I'm going to lock all those in. All my new vocabulary words.
Oh, God.
Yes. I knew it was going to be there, but I didn't know it was going to be that good. Josh, you're a dime a dozen. Hopefully, men can see this and model themselves after both of you guys. You're not real. I don't see this every day. You honestly have given me another perspective of how to sit and actually listen to what men are saying.
Okay.
And I'm receiving it.
Okay.
And so a lot of times I don't get in conversations or get in a room with all people who actually are sane. And they walk the walk and talk the talk. It's been a blessing and a pleasure. Really, I'm ready to let this get on the internet because the world needs to see this.
I'm just blessed to know these two gems.
You last, man. I
just want to say, for real, thank y'all visionaries for this show, Reality Table, because this is a reality that we live in. We're not living in a fairy tale. And so to the two beautiful women that shared your hearts, I want to reciprocate that my sentiments. For real, because I think that even though you all represent something different, y'all have different dimensions about yourselves, I still see the beauty in your femininity. And I think that that's what needs to be celebrated. I always say this, the strongest things on the earth are named after a woman. Mother Earth, Mother Land, Mother Nature. And it's like, when I look at that, I always say the dullest woman is sharper than the sharpest man, because every king came through a woman. But I also love the fact that you all can celebrate us in a light that makes me do more self-inventory. Because like for me, it's all about, I don't get caught up in accolades anymore. Because I know that a man is tested by the praise he receives. So when you receive praise for me, it makes me go in even more in the lab to go continue to refine yourself to be a bigger, better version of you know, your purpose. And so thank you both for having us on the reality table. I appreciate it. It's love.
Yes.
So for me, Miss Kelly, like, thank you. Because to be honest, you got your perspective from the things that you dealt with. You know what I mean? So there's a long line of history that gave you that beautiful spirit that you have and the knowledge and the wisdom and stuff like that. And your voice needs to be heard because women need to see that there's more than one way to do it.
Right. Yes.
So thank you for being amazing and for taking the time out of your day to come and bless this couch, this room with your presence. And the same thing with you, Queen. The fact that you came here and got something out of it, which was something totally different than, you know, at least for me, that I would have expected. Mm-hmm. Not saying that it was going to be something bad, but
right.
You have a beautiful story. You know, I know you, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of the things that you, you know, mentioned, but that is okay for you too, because I want women to see that as well. Like, it's okay to stand strong and be on what you're on. Like, that's how you were raised. And to think that a person can just hit control, alt, delete just to benefit somebody else is a dangerous way of thinking.
Yes.
So I think it's beautiful, not only with yourself, but Lex, you have three women in here that move differently, but it's beautiful because there's understanding.
Yes.
King, you know how we rocking. All so right, bro. I love you, brother. Right. I'm proud of you, man. I think it's dope. Yes, keep doing what you're doing. Keep being a stand-up person, a gentleman, a father, husband, businessman, everything, whatever it is that you got going on, bro, I support you. I rock with you. I think it's important that people see that as well, just showing love, you know, saying between men and that they can see that we can uplift each other and hold each other accountable. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Because I know you be on my head no different than I be on yours. And I think that that's positive. Big Lex, you keep mashing the gas. I'm going to pass that thing on off to you, but keep doing what you're doing.
So look, we're going to run this little game real quick. It's called the game. It's called the game. Okay. It's going to be real quick. So, look, you got to pull something out. You're going to pass it to Josh or whoever. It's going to be the opposite for each person. Answer it real quick. We wrap it up. But you got to tell the truth. And if you don't want to answer it, you know, eventually you're going to have to take a shot. Uh-oh. So, I'm going to start with you, Queen.
Okay. That's the whole thing. Okay.
We got to read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
And she got an answer.
Yeah.
If someone offered you $1 million to break up with your current partner and never get back together, would you?
Yeah. I don't even have a current partner. I'll make up one and break up with him. Sure would.
I love it. Okay. What was the most embarrassing thing that you ever did while on a date?
Most embarrassing thing. Farted.
What happened?
I would expect her to say.
Listen, I'm vegan. That kale was coming back. That kale salad was like, I ain't went nowhere.
So, oh, I love it.
It is what it is.
Did he hear it though?
You know what?
Well, it was one of those things where y'all talking and it's like
one of them little cartoon farts. Oh. He was like.
Oh wow! Yeah. You're a cute assassin.
Yeah,
you put on a whole new
one.
Dealing with that thing.
Oh, okay.
Uh oh.
Have you ever slept with someone then immediately regret it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh man.
Me too.
No, go ahead. Get to her. Yeah.
Okay. I got a short one, too. Look at that.
Let's see. Ooh. What's your secret fetish?
Ooh. with a purple rain shirt on.
Come on, Josh.
Secret fetish. Golly.
You give me feet.
Feet? Secret fetish feet? Yeah. I like a woman that's tatted with grills. Like, it's something about that. That's a turn on for me. You know what I'm saying? Like a good sleeve, even if she got the neck, the whole, like, yeah, really? Like, it's something about that. Where she at? Get a good set of bottoms.
Pull out, though. Pull out. Pull out. Gotta be the pull out.
Gotta be the pull out.
Okay. Okay.
Hold on. Let me read yours.
Get a good one.
Ooh, I can't wait to read this one. Oh, this is perfect. Nah, have you ever had a sugar daddy? And how about a sugar baby? I don't know about that one. Have you ever had a sugar daddy? How about a sugar baby? Two questions.
I've had a sugar daddy, a couple of them. a sugar baby, I ain't got no.
That means young. I guess that's a younger.
Oh, yeah. No, I ain't, young. No, you got to be at least 40. I don't want no legit. You know what I'm saying? I don't want no jit.
That part.
Well, we're going to wrap this up. I appreciate y'all, you know, you guys and ladies and gents coming to the reality table. So closing out, just tell the folks a little bit about you and where they can find you.
My name is Ashley Akins. You can find me on Instagram, _ I am Ashley 007. Yeah, like James Bond. And Ashley Akins everywhere else. Ashley Akins. You can find me everywhere, Ashley Akins, or on Instagram, _ I am Ashley 007. Just like James Bond.
This is
I love it.
Bags. Stevie Bags, StevieBaggsJr. on all fronts. Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. Now go put your face in a book.
Hey.
Right. Oh yeah. Coming out. When is this airing? I don't know. But anyway, this year, you can catch me on BML.
Yeah.
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 Oh yeah. I'm playing the Red Dogs, man. Stay tuned. It's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Miss Kelly.
Drea Kelly, Facebook. Twitter, official Drea Kelly on Instagram. If you still can't find me, Google.
Josh, 21 Powell on Instagram.
TikTok?
Same thing. I'm not really on TikTok, and I'm on Twitter, JP21 Reasons.
The biggest. Remember that camera right there? Okay. Alexia Adams, 24, on the reality table. Follow the reality table. Alexia Adams, Drink to Shrink. Follow that too. Twitter, Little Lex 24. That was before I became Big Lex. Snapchat, Alexia Adams 24. TikTok, Alexia Adams 24. I'm on all of it. I just got to find a way.
The metamorphosis.
That part.
Little Lex to Big Lex.
We appreciate y'all guys coming to the reality table, man. We signing out.
Running back. Just like a DJ. What you bring to the table?